This is Rage World, where we talk to the most interesting people in the world on KABF 88.3, the voice of the people.
You want to see how the other half lives? You want to see how we get around? Why don't you come visit me on the east side of town?
This is Wade Rathke, and you're listening to Wade's World. It's Friday morning, 9 to 9:30 Central Standard Time in the United States, and it's time for your voice of the people, KBF. Welcome to the east side of town so that we can talk about how the other half lives and what life is like here living in Wade's World. Whether that's the east side of Little Rock, where KBF 88.3 FM is located, or the east side of New Orleans, Nairobi, Bengaluru, Bristol, or Bombay. Points east and west, where we are either rebroadcast live, streamed, or live streamed at KABF, www.kabf.org. The podcast will be available to the show on Monday at that website. You know the story on Wade's World, though. We talk to the most interesting people in the world. Today, we're talking to Diane Curry, who's a candidate in the 2nd District of Arkansas here. Welcome to Wade's World, Diane.
Thank you so much, Mr. Wade.
No, Mr. Wade on Wade's World. It's Wade and Congresswoman, Curry someday, perhaps. Yeah. You never know. So what got you to run here in the 2nd District? Because this has been, the old Wilbur Mills District for a million years, back when I came here in 1970. And then more recently, this has been solid Republican district. So you're running against an incumbent. That's not easy. What got you into this place?
Well, I've been involved for so long as a community leader. I started out my career volunteering with different entities. I was a soccer PTA mom. I think I had to go back from the days of my daughter being in school here in Little Rock. She's a 2007 graduate. I did all the things with parents involved. In fact, when I would go to work, my boss said, "What do you have on your agenda today?" Except for work.
Oh, wow.
But I would
always. Those are hard jobs to get, though.
Right. I would go and make sure that I always participated, even though I worked every day. I made a way to get it done. I would take off leave to go to the PTA meetings, even transport kids from the middle school to read to the elementary kids. And then I still became later involved at the high school level and became an officer. I worked a lot with legislative affairs for the PTA at the Little Rock Council level as well as the state level. So those involvements and then later becoming a school board member in 2006 was probably, that was the start of my personal political kind of getting out in that arena.
And you were on the school board for a number of terms.
Actually, almost a decade, 9 years. Unfortunately, now public doesn't have a school board of standing as we speak, although they're advisory members, but you don't have a vote. To me, it's important that we be represented by vote, and that is a concern for our community. And I've been encouraged by many, many people from my community knowing that I've served in that capacity, and they said, "You got to do something else." And I didn't know that I would pursue doing this, but I said, why not? This is the year of the woman. I'm excited about that.
The year of the woman. Okay,
yes.
Well, it's a year of a lot of things, and on the national side, it's a tough decision to want to be in Congress because, boy, you read about Congress every day over the last two terms for President Obama. That looks like it's hammer and tong. It's just war every day. I mean, it's hard to, there's not a whole lot of friendliness across that aisle. I mean, I don't know whether they can get anything done or not. Do you think you could get something done up there, Ms. Curry?
Well, I feel that you have to keep this election and people that serve about the major issues that affect people. And to me, those are the critical things. Education still remains to be a critical area. I couldn't even think of not supporting pre-K funding for students. That's the beginning of their life, the nurturing that's needed. And when I look at that and what's happened in the public on that, then of course the healthcare piece is still critical. I think as I talk to people across my district, people have indicated we have concerns about how if I draw only $800 or $700 a month, I've got to pay for my place to stay, I got to pay for food, but also cost of prescriptions. And most people have some kind of ill, unfortunate, but we have to deal with the rising costs and the standard and the living, what people live on. We still have a problem with the economic peace. People don't have enough money to live on because wages have not been living wages.
Well, and today, you know, you can't pick up a paper the last couple of right. days without reading about this EpiPen thing with Mylan, the drug company.
Yes.
Took the cost from $100 about 2007 up to what, $600 and something? And we know in our communities, particularly low and moderate income communities, allergies, asthma, those kinds of things are almost epidemic. And
that's right.
How does someone afford a $600 pen set to keep you alive if your child has an allergy?
Well, I see that digression. So we want to do better as a state, as a nation, but if we don't put the resources in place, we're taken away from the avenues that have been there. So how can we continue to do that? So I'm willing to fight for those things to be at a more reduced rate, because even though companies work to have profits, it should not be at the expense of the people that can't afford it. That's my concern.
Well, and there's fair profit, and there's
right.
exploitation and predatory, you know, whether right. it's payday lending or drug pricing for these kinds right. of things.
But I'm willing to walk across the aisle to negotiate with my colleagues what's better. And I think we've got to come back to some realities on that.
And everyone looks at the statistics. It's almost impossible to beat an incumbent.
Well, true, but when I look at the voting record of Congressman Hill, he has voted against the minimum wage increase, which people are struggling again with the economy. He's voted against the affordable health care piece.
Oh, so he hasn't been any
right.
He's
not
program.
Been a positive. And people probably, if you don't read the fine lines, you don't know those things. So at least I would be in consideration of what's critical for people that support these efforts. People are voted and elected, but they never come back and talk to the people that put them there. So that's my challenge in this election. I'm out about in my community and in the across the second district, and I have visited a lot of people, and they are concerned. Are you going to come back to my community and talk to me once you become elected? And my plans will be, I will not forget the people that put me in office. So I'm excited about the opportunity.
And are the demographics in the second district changing in a way that's more favorable to your race? Because this is, you know, since Wilbur Mills and Ray yeah. Thornton and a couple of others, this has been Republican country here over the last number of years in Arkansas.
Well, my thing is, that's why I'm pushing on issues, Wade, because people are concerned and struggling. I'm making calls to voters now, and what I hear is say, we can't continue to go in the stream that we're going, because we're all going to be in poverty at the rate that we're going. So we got to put some things back on the table that's about the people, because they elect us. So we got to be accountable. And when you're not accountable, people don't always vote for you again. So that's the challenge.
Well, it's an interesting situation. We're talking to Diane Curry, who's a candidate for the 2nd Congressional District as a Democrat. There's an incumbent, mm-hmm. Congressman French Hill, that we Ms. Curry just mentioned his name as well. This is a funny national campaign. Obviously, as you say, it's the year of the woman. Hillary Clinton is going to be our nominee. We've got at least a connection here in Arkansas
yes.
to Mrs. Clinton. How could that impact a race like this? I mean, some people are saying that it's going to be very close between Trump and Clinton. Other people are saying that some states are in play Utah, Georgia, places right. like that that have been hardcore Republican just because at the top of the ticket, Donald Trump has been a huge weight on some of what people see as the down ballot issues. Do you think that could be a factor here in your district?
Well, the Clintons have been a major part of Arkansas, and I feel that some of the key issues that Secretary Clinton has presented as her platform. You know, we got to go back to the education arena, which I truly support. We've got to cut the cost of students being able to further their education, and I'm definitely for that platform as well, along with some of the other key things with the health care. And I know she was very connected to helping with hunger and children and education. So I like those platforms, but I'm, again, listening to the constituency here. I think it's up for grabs. People will vote their conscience, and this election is about people voting their conscience, but people need to get out to vote. Whether you, if you don't vote, you get what you don't want. So my goal is to encourage people, get out and vote. Of course, I'd like for you to vote for Diane Curry for Congress, of course, because I would be your representative and be your voice, because I've been there. I've struggled as a single mom. I'm a proud single mom. I'm proud of my daughter and her rearing and many families that I helped along the way. And I'm proud of the fact that I've gotten support from some key people in our community with the AFL-CIO that's been there longstanding in their struggle to make sure that jobs benefits are in place. I think we got to go back and revisit some of those things. I get comments from, I use the bus drivers that work for our districts across the city and the state. They're concerned because they don't work enough hours to get benefits. So Right. Guess what? We've forgotten about the people that help us to get where we are. So we got to go back in the trenches and address those needs for people that don't receive enough income and benefits to take care of their families. We have to be concerned with that.
Well, that's certainly right. Now, I know that Secretary Clinton has, as you mentioned, education mm-hmm. is a big part of what you're mm-hmm. looking at federally. Mm-hmm. What can a congressperson really do about education?
Well, it's dealing with the funding. You know, I know that cuts have been done, especially in some of the social concerns. One thing that I would not do as a congressperson, I wouldn't vote for a raise for myself and forget the people on Social Security. I'm now a recipient of Social Security. So guess what? Some people still just don't get enough money to live. So I definitely would not be about privatizing that, because there is enough money there. But I think we've got to revisit the way that some of it is handled. But there's money there. And that's about stability. People have to, I think I heard a statement from someone saying that people are on Social Security, people that are disabled, but that's not true, because people pay in. I have paid in. I'm 62 years old. Well, guess what? I deserve getting my money back out, or a portion. So I think you got to look at the forecast for that for years to come, and the stability of that. That's critical for us.
I mean,
us.
There's no question that every time we get a paycheck, we pay into yeah. Social Security.
So, right.
You know, whether it's 62 or 67 or whatever is the retirement age for people, this is something you pay in all your life. If you've got enough quarters, it's something you've got coming back.
That's right.
You know,
but we don't want anybody to invest it in a way that we don't know what's going on. So,
well, that's exactly right. And I think
that's critical.
That's one thing that hasn't really survived the old Bush proposal. I mean, nobody talks about private IRAs that
right.
much anymore. I don't know about what the program might be. But, I mean, one of the things that's been an issue you're surprised to hear a lot federally in education is about charter schools. I mean,
okay.
Obviously President Obama has even spoken positively about charter schools, but those in a lot of communities, charter schools are very controversial. I don't know what's your thinking about whether or not there should be more federal hands-off or more federal encouragement of charter schools, or what's your view on that?
Okay. I think my position on that is this. People should have choice, but public education has been here for years, for many years, from my growing up and my parents growing up. And I think that it needs to be revisited, how the monies are handled. It was never supposed to be that monies were taken from public to fund charters, but the way it was set 10 years ago in this state, they decided to do the charter system. But people do deserve having a choice. I have no problems. But we should not ever underfund public education, because you have so many students that are disadvantaged. They don't have transportation. It's just like the preschool. Kids that go to preschool, if you don't have the monies to pay, those students that do go have advantages over and above. So we've got to figure out a way to equalize our equal opportunity, that system, and it still to continue to be a depression or a oppression for people to move forward. So we've got to equalize and be fair about the system there. But public education should remain as public school education.
Well, some of these charters are publicly funded, and, you know, that's part
Well, the money followed the student.
That's exactly
so we've
right.
got, I think that that does need to be revisited, because sometimes people have money to pay for that additional education. But the kids at the other level, they don't have that. So that's where you've got to make sure that that's an equitable distribution.
And certainly there have been criticisms about publicly funded charters,
right.
cherry-picking students,
right.
not having programs for special needs children. Not
I've seen it all.
Well,
I've seen it all.
It's not hard to see. On the school board,
that's
I'm sure
right.
you did see a lot of these issues.
Yeah.
And is that something that when we had an elected school board here that actually had something to do with the system that y'all were managing pretty closely, or?
Yes. I saw it right before my eyes, unfortunate. But if you don't speak up and don't fight for what's right, I think I would never give up on fighting for the things that I know are right in our system. And I saw it right before my eyes. But I'm not saying that every student doesn't deserve a quality education, but we got to be fair about it. And I saw it right before me, and I'm very disappointed. And people that, you know, a lot of times some people at the table that don't quite understand that I can't take my child to school. I may have to walk to school. So we've got to invest the same in all opportunities. If you have kids in poverty like we do, concentrated areas of poverty, you've got to put those extras there. But you also got to hold people accountable. So we got to support our teachers better in a better way. We've got to support their training in a better way to make sure that they're able to work with the special concerns of kids that are not as advantaged as others. So that's where we are.
We're talking to Diane Curry, who's running for Congress in the 2nd Congressional District, which includes Pulaski County and many of the counties where KBF broadcasts. So you mentioned, as a single mother, why don't we have a better program around daycare? We've talked about daycare for the working family, for working mothers, for single mothers particularly. The costs are just outrageous. The percentage of income that it takes, or people end up having to cobble something together, which for all the Head Start programs, and they're not funding Head Start programs enough either. I'll say that.
That's right.
I'm not running for anything, but we represent, my union represents Head Start workers, so I know what problems they're facing, and as good a program as that is, these are things that are being deserted. I mean, we've gotten a little bit of increases, but daycare, why don't we have a better daycare system for families in this country? If you look at any of the major OECD countries,
right.
you know, the developed countries, everybody. I mean, we're just like, you know, the tail end dragon.
Well, I'll take this opportunity to look at, that's where we need a balanced budget. We need to go back and visit. The last time we had a balanced budget in Congress was back when, 23 years ago, when Bill Clinton was president. When President Clinton was there. So that's where the cut in the social and the programs, such as funding for Head Start and those things, we have to go back and say, what's priority? And we've forgotten about what the priorities are. That's critical.
Well, let me tell you, under the Obama administration, we're running a surplus. So I'm not a balanced budget guy. I mean, he's reduced. I mean, you don't hear even Trump talking much about the deficit.
Right.
Because since the recession over the last four years, this administration has done a wonderful job at having a surplus. But
it's the way it's appropriated.
That's the issue. It's not the balanced budget. We're a country. I mean, it's just like, you know, in your own home. Sometimes it's worth, you know, having a debt if it means that you have a chance to buy a house. Or, you know, sometimes you have to have debt. And the country has to have debt, too. But why are we not making more of a priority something like daycare? What is it about this country? Is it Trump's thing about women? Or, you know, what is it about the ability to understand what it's like to raise a family with no daycare?
When women are at the forefront, I feel that we were bring up those critical concerns for the family. We've got to go back and nurture families. And I think that's also a community piece. Our churches at one time worked a lot more, and there are a lot of people in churches that are working with their communities, but we've got to go back and rebuild values. The value system has been lost. I know that our grandchildren and our children, they're the future. If we don't invest, and guess what? We've taken away that investment. So we've got to go back and reinvest in our children of the future, because they're going to be the ones that's there for us. So if we don't invest in those children to make sure that they're able to run our country, we're going to be in a real hurt like we see today. So we've got to go back and reinvest in those preschools and the daycares and help people come to a realization. How do we're all in this together. We should be willing to love and care for each other. And I think those are some of the critical things people have forgotten. We got to bring back values and have people concerned with what's happening with my neighbor and what are the concerns. How can we make our communities better so that we can live better in our society?
Well, those are good questions, Ms. Curry, but, you know, that almost sounds Republican. You know, values, and too many times we hear values substituted for what the proper role of government should be. Oh, we should take care of each other, and let's go back to some time that never existed back in, I don't know, the 1800s, 1700s. And we'd all look after our kids. This is modern America. This is big times. We really need things like daycare, and it needs to be funded by the federal government.
We need quality. We need quality in all arenas,
absolutely,
from job training. But most of all, I'm going to go back to the vocational piece for education. If we do more to teach skills, even from the elementary level, a kid knows what they like to do best, starting out very early on. Whether you want to be basketball, whether you want to do soccer, whether you're going to do golf. Right now, those are not bad areas. And swimmers, that's not a bad area to invest in our kids to make sure that that quality is provided for more children.
Are there many vocational educational programs in public schools anymore? Because in many cases, athletics, vocational education, those are programs that you may remember 20 years ago, but they don't exist in a lot of schools anymore.
Well, they are there, but there has to be a revisit. I had a chance to go to an academy's training in Nashville, Tennessee. They have one of the most broadest vocational pieces academies in the United States, very successful. So I think what I'm seeing now is that we've got to go back and revamp and reassure that every kid is on some type of track, whether or not they really want to be there, but that would be a way for them to have the proper skill, a life skill training that's needed. We've got to go back and reinvest in those areas, and I think that would make a difference, because they would know where they're going at the age of, say, 14, 15 years old. You wouldn't have to interview with a child and say, what do you want to do for the future? I don't know.
Saying that you're in favor of tracking.
Not tracking, no. But every school should have a pathway, and those pathways have to be workable. And I think that is a way that we can get back on track to what needs to happen to better the future of our young people. But if it's not tracking, but it's opportunity-based. Some opportunities are there for some kids and some are not. So that's where if you do it in the school system, you would see a better high school graduation.
Maybe. I mean, obviously, as from your experience in the school system, you know
how
controversial tracking is as an issue, particularly for low-income and minority children who aren't assumed that they're going to be as successful in school or life, so they get put into, you know, in the days, more vocational training or more, you know, this kinds of track or, you know, automotive repair or whatever. But something like the Innovation Hub here in Little Rock is almost tracking of a different kind. You think that's really a program that's being offered equally throughout the community?
I'm not sure exactly how it's set up from that standpoint, but I am familiar with it. But I think innovations is where we need to be. Now, it does draw interest.
I'm just arguing.
It does.
We got to link them with opportunity.
That's right. It's an opportunity. And what we have to do as citizens and as parents, as community, we've got to encourage our kids to be involved. In fact, Boy Scouts and Girl Scouts, I think of that as I grew up. That was an important piece in our community. So programs like that and the Innovation Hub that's going on, that's getting kids more into technology. In fact, I know Mike, I always brag on my grandson and my daughter, but I have to. My grandson went to 4 camps this summer. He went to a math camp, an engineering camp. He went to gifted training in second grade. So guess what? If we don't provide...
Oh, he went to all those camps in second grade?
He's in second grade. He went to 4 different camps, but they cost.
I'm sure.
Therefore, we need more opportunities that are funded in a different way, because everybody can't afford to do that. I can't say we could afford to do it, but we sacrificed doing it.
So,
and that happens.
What's the date of this election, Ms. Curry?
November the 8th.
November the 8th.
November the 8th.
It's always a Tuesday, right?
Yes, it's a Tuesday, and I encourage you to early vote. It's 10 days out to early vote.
Starts in 10 days from now.
Well, not 10 days from now. It's November.
So
it's 10 days
before
the election.
Okay.
Yeah,
so
2 weeks.
And are we having problems getting people access to voting? I know a number of states, they've really tried to suppress the vote. Is your view in Arkansas that it's going to be a fair deal?
We sure hope so. I think there was one little flaw with the loss of some voter files that people have expressed concerns with. So I'm hoping that people will make sure you check to see if you're registered to vote. Hopefully you weren't in that group that was thrown out. I just encourage you to check your voter county clerk's office. Make sure you are a registered voter.
Particularly if you ever had any criminal or legal problems,
right?
Because this is where it was just a scandalous what was done in terms of the Secretary of State not even bothering to check. I mean, that's incompetence and malfeasance. We've been talking to Diane Nash. How would Diane Curry, who's running for Congress in the 2nd District. So if people wanted to know more about your candidacy and what you stand, how can they get a hold of you? Do you have a website or
tell
people?
Yes, I do. If you would go to DianeCurry.com, DianeCurry.com, or you can contact me by dialing 501-492-5971. Would love to hear from you.
And that's Curry spelled just like Steph Curry. If people don't know how to spell Steph Curry these days, you know, I don't know what planet they're on. But this has been Wade's World for another week, the world where the other half lives, where we talk about things you've never heard. And as Lucinda Williams sang earlier, things you've never seen and will never forget. We say it loud, we say it on the air, we say it on the radio. Until next week, when we'll have a show looking at a very interesting national issue in the Netherlands, where they're trying to get the private insurers out of the business of healthcare. Doesn't that sound familiar? But we're going to hear from the Netherlands, and they'll be our guest next week on Wade's World. Podcast will be up Monday. This has been www.kabf.org, KABF 88.3, 100,000 watts of people power, broadcasting from Little Rock, Arkansas. Thank you for another week. Thank you and good luck, Ms. Curry.
Thank you, Wade. I enjoyed being here.
Good to have you.